Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, a goat reportedly laid dead in a bowl of food for hours at the Alabama State Fair.
Oh, my God.
It appears to have died from an accidental injury by a camel, not neglect or abuse.
The camel killed it?
The camel killed the goat at the Alabama State Fair.
It's an Allman Brothers song.
An investigation was launched by the Pelham Police Department over the weekend after a fairgoer noted the small black goat was unresponsive and appeared to remain that way for 4 hours in the event's petting zoo.
Oh, man.
This is a terrible petting zoo.
Yeah, they don't even move. They're always sleeping.
Peyton Hill, her boyfriend Carter Johnstone, and several others went to the event Saturday night. Hill, shaken by what she saw, posted her observations and video on Facebook Sunday. She said that her group stopped briefly at the petting zoo when they first arrived at the fair. At that point, she said the fair had been going on for about 8 hours, and the animals appeared to be exhausted and without water. They were super dirty, she said, covered in feces, and I didn't see any water. By the way, everyone was cleared. There was no negligence. The animals were fine.
Oh, were they okay?
This is just what she thought.
So
they spotted a black goat laying with his head in the food bowl and not moving. She said, I figured it was exhausted from the weekend of constant interaction and moved on. She said they returned to the petting zoo about 4 hours later and immediately noticed the same black goat had not moved. It was then feared that the goat was dead. Her boyfriend reached into the pen, touched the goat, and said, yep, the animal was dead. Sure enough, it's dead.
Yeah, it's a dead goat.
At one point, he'll
say... yeah, it's a dead goat.
At one point, Hill said another animal was eating out of the food bowl while the goat was laying in it. Later, she said a miniature donkey stepped on the goat, and it still didn't move.
See that donkey? It just stepped on the goat.
Hill said that they approached the person who appeared to be in charge of the petting zoo and told him that the goat was dead. She said that he then picked up the goat's head, shook it, and dropped it back in the food bowl.
Who wants some monkey bread?
And she said, I started crying and left. Hill and her boyfriend reported the incident to a police officer outside the fair. The video sparked outrage on social media. Police said they received a complaint Saturday evening about a possible dead goat in the petting zoo. And during the course of the three-day investigation.
For the dead goat in the petting zoo.
The police chief, Larry Palmer, said in a statement late Monday, this is big news wherever this is in Alabama.
I just finished the interview with the llama. It saw nothing.
Police determined the goat died as a result of an injury caused by another animal in the petting zoo. The camel fell on the goat.
Oh, God.
Apparently the whole thing that happened. So
goats are cute.
They finally figured it out.
Is there room, though, for a dead animal petting zoo?
I don't know that it's ever been tried.
You can still get the petting sensation.
You can definitely get all the petting sensation.
It's recycling, basically.
And you know what? Without the threat of a bite?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. You know, when if they've died of natural causes for a brief period after, before they start to rot, let them, I don't know. It's the businessman in me.
We'll see if someone takes that on. The mother of a high school student took her case to federal courthouse, and her son, called John Doe in legal documents, did not make the varsity soccer team and was not allowed to play on the JV team. The woman's attorney said that the issue is age and sex discrimination. School officials said if a junior doesn't make the varsity team, the boy cannot play again on the junior varsity team. The school said this is to allow lower grade students a chance to develop their skills so that they will be prepared to try out for varsity. She doesn't think that's fair. She believes that her son, who's already played on the JV soccer team, is good enough to play again on the same team. The coach sent the family an email and said that their son was on the bubble. When it came to picking varsity team members, he wrote the boy has holes in his technical ability and game decision making.
He stinks!
The family appealed the coach's ruling to the superintendent, who decided the family's complaint was unsubstantiable.
Reliable and sakiable.
The mother's suit claims that her son was the victim of age and gender discrimination because she says the rules are different for the girls' soccer team. In the courtroom testimony from the coach indicating the seven jurors cut from the varsity team were not good enough to play on the JV team. He said the reason he said nice things about John Doe was to build the self-esteem and not punch him in the gut after being cut from the varsity team.
Ma'am, I ask you to consider that we're all still reeling from the dead goat story. Do you have no decency?
So this is going to federal court.
Federal court.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Please.
Like, Mom!
Right.
Stop.
Yeah.
I don't even like soccer.
All right, let's move on to a...
You've been married for 9 years.
Let's move on to a real story here. All right, a Domino's pizza delivery driver helped put an end to the assault and kidnapping of a woman who is being held in her Wisconsin home.
This is an amazing story.
A delivery man, Joseph Grundle, was handling the pizza over to a middle-aged couple in Sheboygan. There's a lot of good words here. Grundle and Sheboygan.
Pajamic was sick that night, so he would have had that route.
But this is on Wednesday when he noticed the woman behind the man paying was in distress. He said, I showed up. It was a normal delivery, and I saw this middle-aged couple. The guy answers the door. I hand over the pizza, and I noticed that the woman behind him, who turned out to be his ex, had a black eye, and she mouthed the words, help me. And then after, when the guy left to get the money, she mouthed, call the police. He said, this was as I was just about to leave. I left, and when I got back to the restaurant, which is about an 8-minute drive away, I called 911.
Isn't this amazing? Yeah. And that the guy picked up on it and was not about to, you know, say, maybe I'm misreading. He did the right thing.
Mm. Upon arriving at the scene, a sheriff's deputy saw the man trying to prevent the 57-year-old woman from opening the door. The man, who's identified as Dean Hoffman, eventually let deputies into the home after they stated that they were going to enter forcefully to help the woman who was yelling, help me and please come in the background. The woman told the officers that she and Hoffman had previously been in a relationship and had lived together at another location from December to August 2016 to 18 when she moved out of the home that received the pizza delivery. Now, around 1 p.m. on Wednesday, Hoffman entered the woman's home uninvited. After the woman threatened to call authorities on him, he began to physically assault her, leaving her with a black eye and a bloody nose. He then allegedly dragged her to the second floor by her hair, where he bound her hands and feet with a vacuum power cord and gagged her with a towel.
Oh, man, she could have been killed.
The woman told investigators that she was sure she was going to die tonight. He reportedly made mentions of a gun that he should have brought with him into the home, but left in his car. Police said they found a .22 caliber firearm in his trunk. Deputies arrested Hoffman on charges of strangulation and suffocation, false imprisonment, battery, intimidation of a victim, and burglary. He was also placed on suicide watch due to suicidal comments that he made to law enforcement and what appeared to be a suicide note that he wrote while the woman was tied up. He was going to kill her.
Yeah, he was going to kill himself, too.
Murder-suicide. Although Grundle hasn't had any further contact with the woman whom he helped, he said that her son... has stopped by his Domino's a few times to express his gratitude. So that guy saved her life, man. That's a pretty cool story.
It's a regular guy.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
The married woman in Columbia and her lover were caught off guard when they called for an Uber to head to a motel, and the driver turned out to be the woman's husband.
Oh, my God.
And I will explain how this happened. Identified only as Yimi, the woman and her lover, Jesus Barrios, had kept their affair secret for more than a year. But this week, they were caught when they called an Uber, and Yimi's husband was unexpectedly in the driver's seat. On Tuesday, Yimi and Jesus met up in the city of Santa Marta and decided to head to a motel for more privacy.
She had no idea that her husband was driving for Uber?
No, it's not that. I'll explain. Okay. Unfortunately for the couple, Yimi was unaware that her husband had borrowed a friend's vehicle and was driving using that friend's Uber account to moonlight as a driver.
Oh.
So they were notified by the Uber app that their driver was Leonardo, and so saw no need for concern. So he was just helping out, or his friend was letting him get in a little extra driving.
Wow.
And so on. So she didn't know. She may have known that he was doing Uber driving. She didn't know that he was using this other account.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't until they were inside the vehicle that Yimi and her husband recognized each other. What happened next has been reported differently by various outlets. Some have said that the three exited the vehicle and that the men began to fight on the street as Yimi tried to intervene.
Someone's going to get a bad rating.
Others reported that the wife and her lover simply fled the vehicle to escape her husband's anger. Yimi had been thwarted in part because Leonardo had failed to follow Uber's official policy for drivers.
Trust me, you don't want to thwart Yimi.
The company's regulations clearly state that drivers are not allowed to let others drive for them. In fact, doing so is grounds for losing access to the app. So,
yeah, there's a little bit of a vetting process that goes on, right? You would assume. Yeah,
they were busted. An iguana wandered onto a power line and knocked out electricity to a Florida nursing home, sending 20 patients to the hospital. A spokesman says the iguana was electrocuted and set off a fire on the power pole, which knocked out electricity to the Palms Care Center in Lauderdale Lakes.
The hell happened? I was watching the TV.
The facility was running on...
I was watching the Wheel of Fortune.
...on generator power, but only half of it was being cooled effectively.
Oh.
Residents who lost air conditioning were working, moved to parts of the facility where cooling units were working. And 20 patients removed to hospital as a precaution. Electricity was restored through the nursing home late Friday.
I was having reckless Viagra-fueled sex.
It was all because of an iguana. Here's another story out of Florida. A Florida man is accused of threatening the lives of a family who owns a business that the suspect contracted with for some work. The suspect allegedly described various scenarios under which the family could be hurt or worse. Now, a sheriff's investigator said that the suspect demanded a full refund from the victims through their family's home remodeling business. Investigators said the suspect got only a partial refund because some of the work was completed.
Right.
Well, that allegedly pissed him off. Sheriff Rick Staley said that this isn't the first time that Mark Kloss, 72 years old, has threatened people that he's hired to do work for him. But the sheriff said that Kloss took it to a new level when he sent an email to the owners of the business threatening them and their children. Kloss wrote, "Imagine yourself being attached to a time bomb, which can be triggered at any given moment. Mm-hmm. Or imagine your daughter having to spend the rest of her life wearing a veil to conceal the horrific scars caused by the acid burn to her face."
Wow. His brother Santa would not approve.
It's the second time that Kloss has threatened this family, and he's previously made threats against the owners of another local business as well.
Mm.
Court officials said Kloss refused to leave his jail cell for his first appearance, but the judge said that that the email was certainly cause for concern. Kloss allegedly went on to write, "Your family has never encountered anyone like myself, and I'm all done being a nice guy."
He's a character, that one, huh?
The victims did not want to go on camera, but through an attorney, they spoke about how frightened they are of the suspect and asked that he be ordered to stay away from them, and the judge obliged by setting the bail at $50,000. There he is.
Florida man, Florida man.
A woman's claim, I believe this is in China, a woman's claim that she fished a maxi pad out of her hot pot.
Oh, man.
Is now being viewed with a bit of skepticism after it was revealed that she discovered a similar object while dining at another hot pot restaurant the following day. The woman, whose surname is Ni, had posted footage online showing herself examining the mysterious object that she claims to have found at the bottom of a hot pot while eating at a Hidalgo location. That's the name of the restaurant.
So she, okay.
After inspection, she speculates the object looks like, quote, a menstrual pad. The discovery led to an argument between Nee and the restaurant staff, with the diner demanding 1 million yuan in compensation, an amount that she later lowered to 500,000 yuan, while also breaking some of the restaurant's tableware in a fit. So police were called, though no conclusions were quickly reached over exactly what the object was and how it came to be at the bottom of the soup.
I'm a little suspicious of this.
The only thing that officers initially instructed was that Nee should compensate the restaurant for the broken tableware. In the aftermath of this incident, the restaurant did some research of its own, finding that on the following day, Nee dined at another hot pot restaurant in town and found a similar sanitary pad item.
Mm-hmm. Nee, I'm not giving you one goddamn yawn.
At the bottom of her soup. Nee has insisted that the items are not hers and that she did not place them in the soups. Instead, she claims to be currently doing a public service by inspecting the safety of the cooking oils used at local hot pot restaurants.
God bless her.
Yeah, she's doing her
part. For her civic duty.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.